Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Word. Here we study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. And by the grace of God, we've been able to do 19 books of the Bible. And I believe that the Lord will bless you. The Lord will speak to you. The Lord will reveal His Word to you. If you go out and seek Him and ask Him to reveal it to you, and if you've not listened to the podcast we've done from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app, Bible In-Depth Network. Also, you can be able to find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Apple Podcast, and Podbean, Google Podcasts. You'll find them on all podcast platforms. And I believe the Lord shall reveal His Word to you as you listen. And right now, we're doing the book of Proverbs. And I want to continue with chapter 20. It starts with one of the discussions that raises most alarm in the Christian circles. And that is wine. It begins by saying, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a riotous brawler. And whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Now, there is much discussion about wine in Christian circles. There are some Christian sects or denominations that allow to drink. And then there are those who say it is not right to drink. But the discussion will always go on and on, because the Bible, when you search through the Bible, you never get out to find something concrete or a concrete position as far as wine is concerned, but rather you find one that tells you about those who get drunk or those who get intoxicated with drink. And of course, you'll have to reference it with scripture, yeah, here and there, that will speak about if something causes you to sin, then don't do it. If wine is a mocker, then you'd rather leave it. If it's going to intoxicate you, then you rather don't go that direction. And we know that is, of course, the safest way to do it. Yeah, if something is going to cause you to fall, then you run away from it. If an eye causes you to sin, then you pluck it out. If it's the beer that is causing you to become a nuisance, then you leave it out of your life. And of course, we read through scripture. Yeah, people that are called by God, Nazarites, people who serve the Lord by birth, priests, yeah, all those were supposed to be set apart from strong drink, from wine. And if we've been called of God, then that is a wise thing to do. Because here, he's telling us that it is not wise for somebody who gets intoxicated by such drink. Yeah, it is a mocker. The things that it does to you leave you worthless, with zero integrity, zero respect, zero consideration by others. You see people, when somebody is drunk and how they move across the road, left, right, fall in ditches, that should not be the person you are, because you are seen as not wise. The words that are said, yeah, after somebody has drunk and is intoxicated by drink, the abuse, the fights, all that brings out the lack of wisdom, as scripture here is saying. But it's a discussion that will always go on over generations. But you take a stand. If something is going to cause you trouble, then you rather not go into it. Yeah? So he says here that it's a mocker. People will laugh at you because of the actions that you do after taking the wine. Yeah? And that's not a good place to be. And here you are considered not wise. Remember, when we're looking at scripture in this book, even in Psalms, you look more at what you're being told, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, if you're going to get this wisdom that is being talked about here, you need to fear the Lord, respect Him and all. And in attachment to this wine, if somebody is intoxicated by it, they say they have no wisdom. Yeah. So there is more or less an attachment to the lack of fear of the Lord, because He's the source and center of wisdom. So you do all that you can to stay away from it. Verse 2, the terror of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger forfeits his own life. Of course, now they bring out here how you act before a king who has authority. How do you act before those who have authority? Yeah? You need to be wise on how you act, because if somebody has authority, they have a decision to make about you. If it is at work, they have a decision to make. Act wise with them. Yeah? Our King, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Lord Himself, has authority. Do not provoke Him to anger, because it will come out and your life shall be in danger. Yeah? It is an honor for a man to keep away from strife by handling situations with thoughtful foresight. Think before you act. That's what they're talking about here. But any fool will start a quarrel without regard for consequences. We looked at this yesterday, even on the other day, that you watch your mouth. That is one of the center identifiers of wisdom. You watch your mouth. You don't start quarrels. Seek peace at all times. The lazy man does not plow when the winter season arrives, so he begs at the next harvest and has nothing to do. These are people who do not read seasons, times and seasons. Yeah, they don't look into the fact that this is a season for doing something. This is a season for working. This is a season for sowing. Yeah, and that season passes. Failure to identify seasons of relationships. And all the good people are coming and leaving you because you fail to identify the seasons. Yeah? Failure to identify opportunities that come your way. And they go. And then in the next harvest, you do not have what to reap, but rather, you're begging. That's the person they're talking about here. A plan or a motive or wise counsel in the heart of a man is like water in a deep well. Yeah, of course it never runs out. Water in a deep well, it's well stored. The springs flow with it. But a man of understanding draws it out. Many a man proclaim his own loyalty and goodness, but who can find a faithful and trustworthy man? Of course, it's a question to us. Yeah, being faithful people, being trustworthy people, that person is hard to find. A faithful person, a trustworthy person, in this day and age, is hard to find. But I need to be part of those. I need to be a faithful man. I need to be a trustworthy man in everything I do, in the words I speak, in my attitude, when I go out, being an example. That's the call that we have, yeah, to be faithful and trustworthy people. The righteous man who walks in integrity and lives life in accord with his godly beliefs. That's the one they're talking. How blessed are his children after him? Yeah, because they have an example to follow. So, for you being faithful and trustworthy, it is a benefit, it is a plus, even to your own children. Yeah, because they have a good example to follow. They have somebody that they are following who is of good example. And we need to aim to be that person who is of good example. Yeah, so that our children... You know, it's not good for your child to come out and say that I act like this because that's what I see my parent do. We need to be better examples for our children. Yes, we might have got bad examples through our parents or those that have raised us, but that's not a leeway for you to let your child live. Let your child see a good example from you and follow that example. Because it is good. It shows a blessing even upon your life. And it also guards the path for their own life. A king who sits on the throne of judgment sifts all evil with his eyes. Yeah? And cannot be easily fooled. Who can say, I have cleansed my heart? I am pure from my sin. That's a question that comes out to let us know that we all fall. We all have fallen before. We all make errors. We all make mistakes. So there's nobody that is so righteous to come out and say, me, I have no sin. Everyone falls. Everyone makes an error. And it is the saving grace of God that helps us all. So don't sulk in the pit that you're in, saying, I'm the worst of all on the earth. No, Everybody falls, but there's always another opportunity for you to rise up. The trouble is, when you fall and stay down, you need to fall to know that when you fall, you can get up. You don't remain in the pit that you're in. There is enough grace, abundant grace, saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that picks us up. Yeah, because it is by grace that we have been saved. It's not by our human acts, not by our human effort. I will try too much to live a righteous life, but without God, I am just trying and I will not achieve it. We need the grace of God to help us overcome sin. So we are all on an equal slate. Everybody, you just need to trust in the Lord. You just need to walk with the Lord and acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need Him. And indeed, He will come out and help you. And He will walk with you on the journey, because all have sinned and all fall short. That's a constant. We keep falling short. But by the grace of God, and knowing that He's our guide, He's our friend, He's our deliverer, we need to remain in His confines. Verse 10, differing weights, one for buying, another for selling, and differing measures, both of them are detestable and offensive to the Lord. This one was even talked to, they told the Israelites about this even in the law. Yeah? You need to be honest in business. This is business now they're talking about. Be honest in business. Yeah? If you're saying, I'm going to deliver this, deliver that. Nothing less. If it is a kilo, don't give half or three quarters. Give a kilo. Let your weights be just. Okay? Even a boy is known and distinguished by his acts, whether his conduct is pure and right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. Do not love excessive sleep, or you will become poor. Open your eyes so that you can do your work and you'll be satisfied with bread. Of course, they are not saying here that sleeping is bad, but excessive sleep. You know, there are people who sleep. Yeah? And you wake up at 10 in the morning, 11 midday. Yeah? There is a word here that comes out for us. Do not love excessive sleep, or you'll become poor. The reason is, when you sleep, you're doing nothing. When you sleep, you're not thinking. You're not planning ahead. You're not coming out with alternatives and solutions and strategies on how to work and make money. So what else shall come other than poverty? So wake up, sleep, go to bed early and wake up early and go and do your work. Of course, some of us sleep so late and all we're doing is nothing that is additional or purposeful. And then you end up waking so late and you wasted a day that is right there for you to think and strategize. But the word here coming out is, do not love excessive sleep. Just sleep enough, wake up, go and think. Yeah? Go and work, go and do your duties. That is one of the ways of running from poverty. Yeah? And that, of course, comes on with the fact that you will have food to eat. You will have what to eat, yeah, if you get out and work. It is almost worthless. It is almost worthless, says a buyer as he negotiates the price. But when he goes his way, then he boasts about his bargain. You know such people who bargain. They come to your shop and then they are saying, even these things you have, there is no value in them, yeah? Even these things that you're selling, there is no value really. It's just cheap. I'm just helping you to buy your property. Those are the ones they're talking about here. And they say worthless. That's worthless. Yeah? That shirt is common. I will just help you to take it. But then after, they brag. Yeah? Are you one of those? You need to control that. Yeah? Don't boast about your bargain. Sometimes we just bargain to make life hard for others. Yeah? We speak, tell a price, but you really know this person is not going to earn anything from this. Give them their bargain. They also woke up to come and work. Yeah? Verse 15. There is gold and an abundance of pearls, but the lips of knowledge are a vessel of preciousness, the most precious of all. The judge tells the creditor, take the clothes of the one who is surety for a stranger, and hold him in pledge when he guarantees a loan for foreigners. Food gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Just as sin may be sweet at first, but later its consequences bring despair. Food gained by deceit, money gained by deceit, prosperity gained by deceit. Yeah? When you're moving forward, but it is by deceit. When you're making wealth, but it's through cheating. Yeah? When everything appears to be running in your way and your direction, and success is what you're marked by, but then it is by deceit. And they say that it is sweet to a man, because when the money is coming in, it is sweet. But they say afterward, your mouth will be filled with gravel. You'll feel eventually that what you have is worthless. Yeah? And the the comparison here is to sin. That sin may be sweet at first. The acts you do that are not right before God, sometimes they give you results and you're enjoying them and it seems fun, but eventually they bring despair. They bring pain. Yeah? How we need to watch our lives. It may be looking good. It may be looking sweet. It may be giving you all the chills. But watch it, because it can eventually bring despair to your life. Let us aim to walk lives that honor the Lord. When the Lord is the one that is driving your life, there is a promise of goodness. There is promise of blessing. And that does not turn like gravel in the mouth. For it is pure and it will always remain genuine. It does not come with despair. It comes with blessing. Plans are established by counsel. So make war only with wise guidance. He who goes about as a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Somebody who flatters. Somebody who talks about others all the time. Yeah, watch the friends that you have. If they are gossipers and they're always splitting people, take them off your life. You know, there are so many people that God has created. And that one person that is causing you trouble does not imply that if you lose them, then you won't get others. God will bring the right people into your life. But people who always sow discord, people who always sow pain in lives of others, people who always want to separate and bring down others, those ones, such as gossipers, you need to let them out of your life. Yeah, they're telling you, do not associate with a gossiper. Do not associate with people who want to slander, people who want to abuse. Do not associate with friends that are taking you nowhere. The only place they will take you is nowhere. So associate with positive people in your life. Associate, and it doesn't matter if you have one or two or three or four or only five friends in your life, as long as they are the ones that benefit your life. Not those that come to bring you down, those that bring ideas that will let you fall. Pick people of right influence to your life. And most times, some of these may appear boring. They don't have the excitement. They don't excite you. They don't give you all those chills. They don't appear like they are worth it, but if they are the ones to keep you in line, then go with them. Do not associate with people who are not going to benefit your life. Yeah, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp of life will be extinguished in the time of darkness. Personally, I lost both my parents, and sometimes you long that at least if I had one of them. But then, truth be told, this is life. It happens when you're young and they're gone. But there's always that joy that you long for with a parent. There's always that closeness that you long for with a parent. And you're saying, I wish my parent was alive. At least I wish I had somewhere to go over the weekend and meet my parent, my father, or my mother, and we have a chat, and we have lunch. And there's somebody out there. God has still blessed you. Your father is around. Your mother is around. All one of them is alive. And you do not give them an ear. You do not give them a moment of time. You do not want to hear from them. You don't want to speak to them. Irrespective of how much trouble you have with them, at least go and seek peace, because there's somebody who seeks to have that person in their life, and he's not there, and she's not there. And you know, sometimes it's until such blessings are gone that you realize how much you missed. But here he's coming out to say and tell us that if you curse your father or your mother, then the lamp of your life will be extinguished in time of darkness. When you need that light, who will give it to you when you've just cursed them? Who will give it to you when you've just abused them? I know sometimes relations with parents are not good, but at least find it in your heart to always seek peace and always enjoy the company that they will give you. And make it, with time, things will get better, but never curse your parent, never abuse your parent. If you still have them around, love them. And for some of us, they look for us. Our parents look for us. Where are you? You've not seen me in a month. You've not seen me in a year. Come and see me, my child. Take that moment and use it. Because some of us look for it and we never find it. But there's a blessing that the Lord has given you. Your father is alive. Your mother is alive. Any of them is. Use it and bless them. Don't curse them. Speak good of them. Yeah? And then the lamp of your life will always light and not be extinguished. Verse 21, and an inheritance hastily gained by greed, all unjust means at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. You know, inheritance, some of the biggest troubles we have in inheritance issues, in things that family inheritances, people taking things that are not rightfully theirs, is mentioned here. Taken by greed, and just means you take them, but they will not be a blessing to you. Give the orphans what is theirs. Don't take it away. If the will says this, do as the will says. Don't take it away. Don't make it to enrich yourself. Yeah? Verse 22, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait expectantly for the Lord, and he will rescue and save you. For those that have been hurt, it's not your dupe. It's not your duty to save yourself. Just leave it to the Lord. He will come and fight for you. Of course, verse 23 now talks about deferring weights once again. And fraudulent scales that are not good. They always bring this up. And this is just always echoing in business and the work that we do. Yeah, being just in business. Being somebody who does things in the right way. Does business the right way. Yeah. In your work, are you honest? In your shop, are you honest? Huh? Do you give people back their change? Or you ensure that they forget it. All that is about weights and fraudulent skills, fraudulent means. Yeah? If you're working in town in a shop selling clothes, do you sell the right things? I remember years ago when I went to buy a jean somewhere in town. And after picking one, the person who was selling put in a huge jean of ladies in the bag and gave it to me. And when I reached home, I realized I had got a clothing for ladies. And it was too huge that I didn't even know who to give it to. So as you work, as you sell, as you do your duties, as you do your job, are you honest? Do you deliver as you promise? There's so much issues here that come on when in the Proverbs, talking about weights and scales, yeah, and business etiquette and ethics. We succeed in business because we do the right thing. We succeed in business because we ensure that we give our clients that which they ask for. Yeah? Give what is good. Give what is quality. Don't look at saving that you are giving out poor quality. Yeah? Give the best, and the Lord shall bless you. Verse 24, a man's steps are ordered and ordained by the Lord. How then can a man understand his way? My steps are ordered by the Lord. Your steps are ordered by the Lord, ordained by the Lord. Everything I do, it needs to be ordered by the Lord. That's why I need to always seek the Lord and ask him, what should I do in this scenario, in this circumstance? What should I do? Direct me, O Lord. Give me direction on how to handle this situation. How should I talk to this person after all they've done to me? My steps are ordered by the Lord. Yes, the most obvious thing may be go and abuse him or fight him or beat him up. But I will ask the Lord and say, order my steps. How should I treat this person? And that takes humility, because we all have egos. We all have that feeling of, me, I'm not a joke. Don't play with me. Yeah? But what do you do? How do you act? You need to always consider the Lord. Talk to the Lord and ask him and tell him to guide you. And indeed he will. And when you feel in your heart the response coming out, or even in your conscience the response coming out to do this is not positive, take a pause. Because what happens with the Lord, whenever he's telling you what to do, it is a good thing. He will not tell you go and beat, go and abuse. No, that is not the Lord. For him, his word is good. It will be forgive, love, take it easy. Yeah? Give him time. Because that's what the Lord does. That's how the Lord speaks to us. Yeah? So my steps need to be ordered by the Lord. They need to be ordained by the Lord. Yeah? It is a trap for a man to speak a vow of consecration and say rashly, it is holy, and not until afterward consider when he can fulfill it. A wise king sifts out the wicked from among the good and drives the threshing wheel over them to separate the chaff from the grain. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching and examining all the innermost parts of his being. Loyalty and mercy, truth and faithfulness protect the king, and he upholds his throne by loving kindness. The glory of young men is in their physical strength, and the honor of aged men is in their gray head, representing wisdom and experience. Of course, for the young, youthful, your glory is in your strength. What do you use your strength for? You know, we use our strength for so many things as young people. And with all the energy God has given you in this age, in this time, what do you use your strength for? Yeah? Do you just use it to dance? And they say, oh, that boy, that girl dances so much, and that is all you do. In your strength, also you need to think and work and come up with ideas, things that are going to take you forward. Because in the future, your strength goes down. As age progresses, as you grow in age, as you grow older, your strength goes down. So use this moment for something better. Yeah? And for us young people, for somebody who is young listening out there, how do you use your strength? Do you make research? Do you learn new things? Do you look at the future and say, this is where I want to be, and this is what I want to achieve? And use your strength, use that ability, use that energy God has given you to prepare for the future. Because a time will come when you can't think that well, when you can't move that swiftly, but you have made things, you've made investments, and you've done projects that are going to help sustain your life. So use your energy, use your strength, your physical strength, for the glory. Yeah, that it may be seen and say, they used their youthful years. Yeah, not just spending time on worthless things, but rather use time for the right thing. Of course, the aged men, they say their gray head represents wisdom and experience. We spoke last time that never forget that also fools grow old. So you can have a gray head that does not have wisdom, that does not have good experience. And when you sit down to listen to that person, you wonder how their youthfulness was. We need to aim hard to be people who are speaking sense and people who have wisdom with us. Because when we grow old, we need to be that well of wisdom and experience, talking to people, and they feel that our gray head is benefiting them, not just speaking. And they wonder, how did this man get a gray head, yet out of them does not come anything of wisdom? What you invest into yourself right now is what will come out of you even when you're a gray head, even when you're old. So you need to be positive. And our last verse for today: blows that wound cleanse away evil, and strokes reach to the innermost parts. The book of Proverbs has very many issues it addresses, verse after verse. It can change a topic or discussion, but we will go through it, and the Lord shall give us a grace to understand everything we study. That marks the end of chapter 20. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us and encouraging us. And we pray for a blessing upon our lives. May we prosper in all things. May we do as you want us to do and live lives that honor you at all times. We exalt you and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.